Amen. Learning to do it God's way. And I want us to turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11 to begin with. And we're going to read a passage of Scripture beginning with 18 through 21. Therefore, thou shalt lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that the days, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord sware to give to the fathers, to give them like the days of heaven above the earth or upon the earth. Amen. You know, the thought here that I want to convey to everyone here is that God in marriage and our lives want them that once we make Jesus the Lord of our life, become like the days of heaven upon earth. In other words, no matter how they have been, they can be differently. And they can reflect heaven's blessing if we learn to do it God's way. And Pastor Debbie and I realize that, you know, it will save a lot of us, all of us really, heartaches and a lot of troubles if we would just learn to do things God's way. And how many know God's word reveals his way? Because he wants our days to be like heaven upon earth. And that, you know, that may be a foreign concept to many, love, but what I'd really like for people to understand is the voice of our future is not the echo of our past. And so many people, because of things that have gone wrong or not right, or they feel like, maybe they're not a match made in heaven, or they can never qualify to that, no matter whether they're single, married, or however we look at this, we want each person to know that Jesus is the standard. We're not. We're going to share the word with you today, and the word of God and God's way can better us and prepare us, amen, so that it can not only keep us from a lot of heartaches and a lot of troubles, but bring what you're looking for in your life, true joy and contentment and fulfillment in our lives by walking with God. And so we're going to have to do it God's way, and
it's the best way.
That's the best way. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to talk about today. And I want to remind us today that God is a redeemer.
Yes.
And he's a redeemer of time.
Yes.
Amen. And one of the things I think that, love, today will be a good place to start before we jump in, because we want to talk about singles today. Amen. Praise
God. Yes,
we
do, but before we get there,
yeah.
There is a bookmark for everybody at the Info Center when you leave here today, and it's for singles, married, anybody who wants to get one, and it's just a good, good bookmark, good reminder.
About love.
Yeah, about love, and that's one of the biggest things when it comes to marriage.
Praise God. And so one of the things that we'd like to do today in starting out, and I think it would help whether we're single and looking to be married, whether we're single and happily single, whether we're married happily or unhappily, we believe that what we're getting ready to share, to whoever we are, young and old alike, that what we're about to share can help you.
Yes.
Because I want you to know this match, what's it called?
A match made in heaven.
You know what? Yeah. The truth is, people may look at us and think that we're a match made in heaven, but before, when we got saved back in 1984, we were not saved. We did not know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our lives.
That's right.
But what we want to share is how God actually interrupted and intercepted our life in the course that we were going on, and we, through that, took God's direction and God's plan for our life, because we were going, I know I was going my own way, but God interrupted it and gave us a total different direction by us giving our hearts to Jesus Christ. And even though, obviously, before we made Jesus the Lord of our life, We may thought we were match made in heaven, but we were not living that way. What I want to offer hope to all of us today, if we do it God's way, then our life will reflect the touch of heaven upon earth. Amen. Praise God. And so, love, where would you like to begin today about our journey?
Well, I guess we'll go all the way back to ninth grade.
Okay.
All the way back to ninth grade. In ninth grade...
We're letting you a little in on a little bit here.
Where you sit at the double tables, two at a table.
In a science class.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And me and my friend, girlfriend, we were at our table and he was with his friend and we got in trouble for talking too much. Now, I don't know if you can imagine that or not, but...
They could for me probably, but maybe not for you.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so the teacher switched us out, and I was moved beside him on the same table, and his friend was moved by my friend.
Had to dissect a frog with her, you know, that kind of stuff. No, go ahead, love, I'm sorry.
So here we are in ninth grade. Well, unbeknowing to me, in that class, God dropped something down in my heart for him in ninth grade.
I wish you had told me about it.
I was waiting for you to hear from God.
I know, love. I just, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So here we are. We go through ninth grade, and I had this thing in my heart, and at the same time.
Here's the truth.
It took you a while.
No, you were dating somebody else.
We graduated in our class together because we was in the same class and everything together. We graduated in 1980, and it took you 3 years after graduation. But when you did, we dated for 3 years.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. And then we got married.
We got married.
Yeah.
And it went downhill. I thought I had that. I mean, that wasn't your fault.
No, because we wouldn't say.
We wouldn't say.
We thought we were.
Now we were going to church. We grew up in church.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
But you can pray the prayer with the preacher and go through the classes and still not know God. You hear me? Yeah. And so.
And I sure didn't do any of that.
Oh, no, right,
yeah.
Right, yeah. So after about 3 years in our marriage, it began to take a toll of our marriage because it was going in two opposite directions. Mm-hmm. The God in his life was hunting and fishing.
Mm-hmm. And remember, there's nothing matter with hunting and fishing.
Nope.
It just can't be your God.
That's right.
Amen. It can't be first in your life.
Right.
Amen. God has to be.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And so that being what he gave his time to, what he ate, slept, drank, it consumed his life. And so it began to affect our marriage. So one day in my living room, I have the TV on, and there was an evangelist on. And he had gone to the duck blinds that morning to check for the whatever you do when you go to the duck blind.
Yeah, keep on going. Praise the Lord.
And I was in my living room there, and that evangelist got to my heart. Mm-hmm. And I found myself on my knees in my living room praying with this evangelist because he said through the TV screen that somebody out there was dealing with a marriage that was going downhill and was not going the way you thought it would.
It was us.
So I was like, Lord, that's me. And so when it gets personal like that, you know God is speaking to you. And so it humbled me. And like I said, I got down on my knees in my living room. I prayed the prayer of salvation with that evangelist. And it changed my life forever. I did not tell him about it.
She started living it.
Yeah. It changed me so dramatically that I had a love for the Word of God. I got my Bible out. I began reading it and studying it. And then you caught me doing that. Then you began to ask and inquire, what are you doing?
What are you doing? You said, I'm reading my Bible. I said, well, what are you doing that for? You've never done that before. And she did it 3 or 4 nights in a row, and it got me such under conviction. I said, where's my Bible at? You know, you're one that you get when you're about... Well, you're about, you know, 7 or 8 in the church, and then the church gives it to you. And, you know, and she says, well, I think I can find it. It was in the closet, in the bottom of the closet somewhere. And, of course, it had never been opened, so it was stiff and everything. And so I pull it out. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know where to look. So I just opened my Bible, and guess where I turned? Job. And after 2 nights of reading, I gave it up for a bit. I said, oh, my Lord. Woo! Oh my goodness. Okay. So anyway, but God wasn't finished.
No, he wasn't.
Amen. Yeah. But Pastor Debbie began to live her life. Of course, I didn't know anything about the Word of God, even though we grew up in church, and you know my testimony, but in case visitors are here today and never heard it, I can tell it in 30 seconds. I grew up in church, and for 24 years of my life, I thought because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things. Thought because I shook the preacher's hand and was water baptized as a child. Thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me that I was right with God. But on March the 30th, 1986, at the age of 24, I heard a message that made me realize that I had come to God my way, and my way wasn't the correct way. And I found out that I had made my own version of God. And I heard exactly how God said that I needed to come to Him in order to receive and be right with Him. In other words, I could repent of my sins, I could make Jesus, the Lord of my life, invite into my heart, and God would not only forgive me, but give me the gift of eternal life, and I could be right with Him. That day, on March the 30th, 1986, that's Easter Sunday. It was just a couple months after you had given your heart to Jesus.
Yeah.
That day, I walked that aisle, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and He totally changed my life. And He birthed a supernatural desire in my heart, just like He did in your heart, for the Word of God and for the things of God. And thank God for the local church because, you know, even though we grew up in a mainline denomination, and I thank God for that, the pastor at that time at that church was a spirit-filled pastor,
yes,
a real man
was.
Of God, and thank God for it. But the church that we were at really kind of tied his hands, even though he was very bold and shared things that we needed. He was really limited in one sense because the congregation and leaders in the church did not exactly want to hear the full gospel. And so that does affect how the Spirit of God can move. But thank God he was bold. He was compassionate to us. Mm-hmm. And we had family members that were going to this church then. It was a small a storefront at that time. And they invited us to come to Wednesday night because that church didn't have Wednesday night service. So we went. And there we heard the Word of God in the Spirit-filled walk.
Right.
And it just only turned us on. We saw things, heard things, said, those people got more of God, and I want what they got. And even though we didn't understand everything, we could see that it was in the Word of God. If it was in the Word of God, that was good enough for me. I wanted it. And from that place, God began to take us on this supernatural journey. Of course, God spoke to me in an audible voice and told me, matter of fact, I think it would be good if I just tell that story really quick. You know, Pastor Debbie and I, here's the thing that we have to understand, church, that it's more important that we do the will of God than our own will. I think you know that. That's what Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will would be done. And Pastor Debbie and I, our prayer, once we got saved, we were going to the mainline denominational church, and we were thanking God for that. Had some wonderful people there, and they loved God as well. They were excited about what God was doing in our lives, and we kind of sparked a little fire there. Amen. And we were just hungry for God, and we prayed and said, God, however you want to use us, whatever you want to do,
We want to be used by you. And we really thought that God was going to use us to change that church. Let me tell you something. Can I help you one moment here?
It's
something I learned. God's not going to cause you to change a church that already has a pastor. Need to do is find a church that is on fire for God and has a vision that you can hook up with and then start serving that vision. And from that place, you can fulfill the will of God for your life. But God didn't call us to change the church. And even though we wasn't trying to change the church, we thought we were going to do that. But God supernaturally one night changed the course of our life. And this really changed us. And I can say, honestly, the reason we are standing behind here today and we're the pastors of the church, in part is because we obeyed what God said back in that night. And here's what he said to me. Now, Pastor Debbie and I, many of you heard this, but some of you haven't, so I'll take a moment and just share this. Pastor Debbie and I, back then, every Saturday night before we went to bed, that night in particular, we watched something on TBN. And at 10 o'clock, we went to bed, but I did something every night before I went to bed. I stayed up and did it, and that is eat a package of Ho-Hos. That's a little Swiss Debbie, those little Swiss Miss Debbie cakes. I ate one of them and drank a Pepsi every night before I went to bed. And so she went on to bed, and I stayed up, and I'm sitting at the table, and I no more expected what was going to happen. Matter of fact, I look at the grace and mercy of God, and that night changed my life. Not only had I already received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but that night I received direction from God that actually, through obedience to it, changed the direction of our life in the way that God would want us to do. And here's what God said to him. I'm eating that ho-ho, and I like those ho-hos. You know, I don't eat them anymore, so don't give me any. Amen. And I stopped drinking. I drink Cokes now, but I don't even drink them. I haven't drank one in two years, so don't give me any. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I could, but I just don't. So here's what happened. I'm eating at that table, and I was enjoying it, and I no more expected what happened next to happen than to be the next man land on the moon. And I heard in an audible voice God speak to me. And God, here's what the Spirit of God said to me. Now, I heard it like you're hearing me, but I knew that it was right here. In other words, it was audible to me, but it was audible right here. And God said it so loud to me, it was unmistakable. He said, "Son, you asked me to use you and your wife, and I have. But you failed to ask me where I want you. Now, I'm telling you, I want you at Cornerstone Fellowship Church." That's what the Spirit of God said to me. I jumped up, and God may have had another paragraph to say to me. But I just jumped up right there. I think he was finished, but I just jumped up, and I runned into, you know what's coming next? Praise God. I like telling this. Pastor Debbie, they're going on to bed, and you know our little 1,000-square-foot home, I didn't have far to go from the kitchen table to her bed. To our bed. Praise the Lord. And back then, we had a water bed, and it was I'm gonna date it now. They're the baffleless water beds. Okay, that dates you, don't it? Praise God. All you kids that are in here, you wonder what a water bed is, just ask your parents when you get home. Praise the Lord. They can tell you. Amen. So Pastor Debbie's laying in the water bed, and I went to wake her up. And so what I did is I just did that on the bed, and she went, you know, like that. It's just, I said, "Love, the Lord just spoke to me in an audible voice, and he told me," and I told her exactly what he said, and I said, and she says, "Okay." And I says, "Well, what are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to call the pastor tomorrow morning, and we're going to set a meet with him and just tell him what happened and get his counsel." Well, we did. And he said, "Be glad to meet with you at the church." We went to his parsonage, sit there with a couple other leaders in the church, and I told him the story. He looked at me, he smiled, and he said, here's what he said. Now, this is a real man of God right here. Here's what he said. He said, "You heard from God. Chris, Debbie, here's what I encourage you to do. Obey God. Do what God told you." He says, "I don't blame you. He says, "If I was in your shoes, I would jump ship too instead of going down with the ship." Now, some of you would understand that in the direction that some of the denominations have gone in the days since. But here's, he said, "You have my blessing. Do what God said to do."
That's Yes.
Amen. But the key is that the things that we've done in life, that even at decisions, tough decisions, we've always sought counsel. Yes. Even though we said God said this, we wanted to know what leaders over us said. Mm-hmm. And so we could have their blessing.
That's
and
right.
And so from that place, love, I would say that little did I know that we would one day become the pastors of this church in 2002. And we count it a privilege and an honor to be called your pastors and serve you. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so that was B.C. to A.D. Praise the Lord. Amen. And praise God. The rest is history. Praise God.
Amen. So here we are.
Here we are.
Hallelujah.
And we're helping people.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we are.
And love, let me just add one other thing. Oh, this, the reason why we want to share this, because see, many times people at the match made in heaven, they say, I have no hope. Listen, if we have hope, you had hope. Come on.
That's true.
He's just looking for us to a husband and wife that will join themselves and do it God's way and put God first and His Word first, and then we can experience days of heaven on earth. Have we had tests and trials? We all have tests and trials, but I can tell you, we got a touch of heaven upon our lives, and we are thankful God for it.
Yes,
and so can
yes,
you. Praise
yes.
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Go ahead for it, love. I'm going to go sit down. Go ahead and preach, love.
A match made in heaven, learning to do it God's way. So we said today we're going to start out with the do's and don'ts for the singles. How many singles we got in here? Praise God.
Don't be afraid to claim that. Praise the Lord. It doesn't mean something's the matter with you. Maybe you'd avoided a lot of tragedy so far. Amen.
That's true.
Praise
That's
God.
That's exactly right.
So, before we listen, don't all you married couples say, this is for single. I can't learn nothing from this. Listen, God's going to speak to you through this as well. So it's for all of us. And you should care about everyone. We should always be caring about others. Are they getting what they need as well? So praise God.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. You all right?
I'm all right, baby.
Okay. Praise God. You know, when Pastor Chris and I were serving in the church before we became senior pastors, we had a singles group that we were over, and we held it in our home. And if we didn't have a time with those singles in that group in our home, and...
They named themselves SALT, Singles Against Lonely Times.
Yes, they did. Yes, they sure did. But it was a good group, and God was just in preparation time in our own lives, but praise God. Amen. So, number one, here's the first thing going when it comes to the do's and don'ts for singles. Number one, don't think a spouse is the answer to all of your life's problems.
Or getting married, in other words, is the answer to all of life's problems.
That's exactly
But you know who is the answer?
Jesus is the answer. That's right.
John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God.
That's right. Only God can love you perfectly, powerfully, and permanently. No human being can. And not only that, is there are four deepest needs of man that only God can meet those four deepest needs in people. You know what they are? Number one is security. Number two is acceptance. Number three is identity. Number four is purpose. Mm-hmm. So going back to number one, Jesus is your security.
Yeah.
And Jesus is your security. Your acceptance is with Christ.
Yep.
Your identity is in Christ. And your purpose is sharing Christ. Mm-hmm. We communicate out of our deepest needs to one another, whether it's through purpose, security, identification, or acceptance. We're usually communicating out of those four deepest needs. And many times people are looking for a person, another human being, to fill those four deepest needs that only God can fill.
Good point.
Only God. So your security is Christ. Your acceptance is with Christ. Your identity is in Christ. And your purpose is to share Christ.
And Colossians 2:10 says you complete in Christ.
In Christ.
And so a lot of times people, it's a very unrealistic expectation when you think that getting married is going to fix you.
Right.
Or they're going to be the one that puts you over. That's Jesus alone can do
only
that.
Only God can.
You know, a spouse and getting married can't fix you. No. Marriage doesn't solve emotional problems. It only exposes them.
Exactly.
Everybody say, ouch. Praise God, it's just true.
Yes.
Because I can just tell you, if you were selfish before you got married, it's going to show up more selfishness. You know, all those things that you haven't worked out, they're going to be with you when you get there. And marriage, you getting married to someone won't solve them. It'll expose what's already been hidden and not right. This is why Christ is what completes us. Amen.
That's right. That's
Praise God.
But what are we told to do? Harness our emotions. We're to harness those emotions so that we do not allow our emotions to control our lives. They're to be brought into submission to our what? Our inward man, the spirit man, the hidden man of the heart.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of times that what we need to understand is we cannot think that getting married or having a spouse answers all life's problems. If we are, many times we are getting married for the wrong reasons because of like we're lonely. Here's a big one, money. Money will solve everything, won't it? No, it won't. Because what happens is it requires, you know, a lot of times people will get married because of dependent upon someone else.
Codependency.
Or they require support in their life. That's not right. Because what happens is this excessive emotional or psychological reliance upon a partner is unhealthy and unrealistic.
Very unhealthy.
And it will wreck what you thought was going to be your answer is not going to be your answer because you always are taking and expecting that person to give, but you don't have anything to offer to give.
Right.
And so it makes it very, very difficult and the wrong reason. And getting married is not the answer to all life's problems. Praise God.
Praise God.
Now, there's plenty of right reasons, and we'll get to some of them, but thinking getting married is the answer to your problem isn't.
No.
Praise God.
Okay, moving right along.
Yeah.
Number two, the do's and don'ts for singles. Don't mistake infatuation or desperation for love. Ooh, you want to start that one?
Well, whatever you want, or do you want to?
Well, let's look at infatuation and define it. The definition for infatuation is an intense but short-lived passion or admiration for someone or something. It mistrusts and lacks confidence.
Then on the other side of that, I said, actually, don't mistake desperation for love. Because we can be blinded. When we're desperate, we get blinded.
Yes.
And that means desperation is a state of despair, which typically results in rash or extreme behavior, including decisions. So it pushes us to wrong decisions, hasty decisions.
Yep.
And we just have to realize that an intense but short-lived passion for something or someone is infatuation. Because, you know, we can think that we have some fire, but when time and circumstances are entered into that, it usually puts the fire out. Or you are quick to jump from the frying pan into the fire. The only thing you get is burnt.
Yes.
So we shouldn't be rash in these things that we do.
No.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah.
We should let these things, when we're infatuated, it may cause us to do something hurriedly that later we will regret.
That's right.
So, you know what, I think about this. Had someone come to my office, and you know who it is, happened years ago. We've been pastoring for, you know, over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so this happened many years ago. Person came to my office, and they were a member of our church. They were friends, and they thought that I was going to say something different than what they heard from me. And they were going to get married, and they asked me to marry them. And I said, when is it? And I said, well, who is it? Oh, boy is right. I mean, there shouldn't be a secret now. No. Come on. If you're coming to this church, where has she or he been? Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll fast forward a little bit. And I said, they said this date. And I said, well, I hate to tell you, I hope that's not locked in, because I can't marry you, because I've got, I can't at that date. I've got something already else scheduled, planned. And they says, well, yeah, we've sent out everything. I said, well, a little late asking the pastor now. But I said, but that wasn't the bigger deal. Here was the bigger deal. They jumped from losing a spouse.
Yeah.
Into getting married in a short period of time.
Yeah.
And I could tell their life was not stable.
Right.
And they were making a hurried decision.
Yes.
With that being said, it could very well be infatuation or desperation instead of love. And I was cautious on that. And they didn't like what I got to say. I said, well, I can't marry you. So well, you can't. They said, you can't change it, Pastor. I said, no, I can't change what I've already committed to. And I said, you know, you made a mistake by, without asking me, setting it in concrete and expecting me to do it. That's unfair to me. But I said, beyond that, let's just forget about this. I said, I have a concern about this, because I don't think you're ready to get married. Oh, they didn't really want to hear that. And you can imagine that went over real good. I said, let me just say it like this. If it's right now, it'll be right 6 months from now.
That's it.
Boy, woo! They didn't like it. But you know what? I didn't back off. And you know what? You can do it your way, and it can cost you. And that's not, of course, that's what we want to happen in people's lives. But the truth is, you have to be able to... you have to be able to receive wise counsel. So anyway, go ahead, love. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you want to move to the next one?
No, why don't we just talk about this one? One other thing.
Okay.
Don't settle. Mm. Don't settle. You're not desperate.
Nope.
Whether you've never been married before, or you've been divorced, or you lost a spouse and you're looking to remarry, you're not desperate. Don't settle for less than the will of God for your life. Don't settle for less to meet a fleeting or temporary or changing emotional need.
So true.
Now, I know this is not the kind of message that you just get up and run around and shout on, but I can just tell you, outside of making Jesus, listen to what I'm getting ready to say, outside of making Jesus the Lord of your life, the second most important decision you'll make is who you marry.
That's it. The second most important decision.
Yep. And then once that is, I would say, where are you going to go to church at? Now, I know a lot of people would disagree with that, but I can just tell you, I'm standing here today to tell you the things that I've learned in church, being a believer, has helped me in every area of my life. In whether it's a working, wherever I worked at, however I interacted with people, not just how I ministered the Word of God, but how I live life so that outside of these four walls, I could be as successful as I could be. Hallelujah. And the local church is a bastion of truth. It's supposed to be the pillar and ground of truth. And truth sets you free, not people's opinion. And not doing it your own way. Okay, so love, true. I think we can go on now. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
I could tell everybody was running around in the back. Praise the Lord. All you people up front, you're missing it. They're running around in the back today. Praise the Lord. They're just happy.
All right, number three, moving right along. Don't think someone will change after you marry them. No. Big no.
I hear the...
No, the only one that can change them is the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. And too many people jump into it because they think, well, it's all right, we'll get married and he'll change or she'll change. And
she's beautiful. She's 36, 24, 36, and he's a hunk, she thinks.
Never marry for beauty, fame, fortune.
Yeah. Now, let me just say this. But Pastor Debbie says, never marry for beauty, fame, fortune, all that. You don't get married for that. But hello, guys, should you think she looked good? Yeah, praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
Ladies, should you think he is handsome? Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise God. Or to be like
definitely,
that.
Definitely, you should be definitely
attracted to one another. You should be. Yes, he should be a gentleman. She should be a lady and all those things. But there needs to be a physical attraction to one another.
Definitely.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, because we have had couples sit down and say, Pastor Chris would come up with the question, but they're like, we're doing this by faith. We're going for it. Pastor Chris said, hold it. Stop 1 minute. Are you physically attracted to one another? And they were like, well, we can make this work. It's not about making this work. No.
Yeah, you'd be like that. About that preacher, he had this real, you know, he was going to get married, and he's wondering, you know, he had this girl he was going to marry, or, you know, and he says, you know what, praise God, she's not that beautiful, but man, she can sing, and she'll be a great benefit to the ministry. You know, before I get up and preach, she'll sing, and she'll bring the house down, and I just think it will be wonderful. So they got married, and on the honeymoon night, you know, everything, praise the Lord. Yeah. Get up the next morning, she turns over, and she looks at him and smiles, and he goes, sing, baby, sing. Praise the Lord. Yes. I had to do it. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Oh,
praise the
Lord. Oh, boy. Okay.
Amen. It's not the only reason, but it is a reason.
That's right.
Amen. You should be physically attracted. Amen. Right. But if you're not equally yoked, say
that's,
no from the get-go. We told our teenagers back when we were the youth ministers here for years. We said, look, they would say, well, this is my girlfriend. This is my guy, whatever, you know. And I said, well, tell me about them, you know. And I just asked this one question. I said, do they love Jesus like you do? I said, oh, no, Pastor Chris. I said, well, let me help you. If they're not for God, they're not for you.
There you go. Right there. It's real simple.
It doesn't mean they're evil or malicious.
No.
But doing it God's way is the only way that will work, church.
That's right.
So, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Let's read this.
Yes.
Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteous? What communion have light with darkness? It doesn't mean the unbelieving world is just evil. It just means, evil though they might be, what God is saying is, you don't marry someone of opposite faith or non-faith.
That's right.
Going to cost you in the long run. You'll compromise. You already have if you're willing to say yes in marriage that situation. Because, but like you said, Pastor Deb, you know, people say, well, I can change him. I just think I change. I'm so in love. I have edible heels. Oh, my goodness. Pitter patter. I can change him. No, you can't.
No, you can't.
Amen. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So let's ask some of the questions that should be asked. If you know, if you are equally yoked, is God at the center of not only their life but your relationship? Because we could be so desperate to have a relationship that we just kind of, even though we're saved, we put kind of God on the back burner because we want this relationship so much.
Oh, See, this is a mistake that people make many times. Instead of building their life around God, they build God around their life and giving him the leftovers, and it don't work like that.
Yeah.
Jesus has to be the priority.
Has to be the center of the life.
Of our lives.
And it should be at the center of that relationship.
Yes.
Because if that's an afterthought, then you're going about it the wrong way. It's going to cost you trouble. And you're probably not, if you are a fire believer, then the person you marry should need to be on fire.
Mm-hmm.
But at least of the same faith.
Yeah.
And I can just say this as well. You know, if you're spirit-filled, you need somebody that's spirit-filled.
Come on. Don't
settle. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Do you have shared faith, life goals, and values? Have you communicated them? Compromise is not God's will. To say, I think I can change him. I think it will work. You're pushing it. You're going in the wrong direction.
That's exactly.
Here's
right.
A good one.
Here's a,
go ahead. I'm go
oh,
ahead, baby.
Go ahead.
Are you willing to get counsel and to sit down with someone? Even you say, "Well, I ain't even married yet." Well, hey, that's all right. If you're thinking of getting married, if you really are, this is why marriage counseling will be great. When's this next marriage class in? What's the date? March the 18th. I want to encourage every person that's thinking about getting married, or they just want, not just getting married, but want to strengthen their marital relationship, to be in our class that we have on Wednesday night starting March the 18th. Amen. It will help you. It will help in relationships. If you're single, married, or you, especially all those that are thinking about getting married, please get in that class, because it will help you. It will help, because sooner or later, you're going to come to me or Pastor Doug and want us to marry you, and we're going to sit down, and it would be better if you go through that class right then. And you ought to be prepared, because it's going to surface a lot of things that could sink your boat. Because you're going to talk about things about money, sex, children, family, what marriage looks like in a Christian context.
Yep.
And I can tell you that's going to surface a lot of things. You'll say, well, that's the things I'm trying to hide. We'll work that out after we get married. Don't fool yourself. No, you won't. No. It'll wreck you quicker. Mm-hmm. So it's better to be talking about those things ahead of time. Amen.
After all, you want to start on a strong foundation.
That's it.
And
right
that
there.
Helps to build yep. a that's strong it. Foundation in your relationship.
Yep, that's it. That's yeah. it right there. Praise God. Build the foundation for your life and marriage on the Word of God.
Yeah.
And you're only going to get that by getting wise counsel. Amen. And this is one way, not the only way, but one that's way right. to get that. Praise yeah. the Lord. Amen. You know, don't. Yes, here's when we've done marriage counseling in many times, but sometimes I hear people say, you know what, they're preparing for the big wedding day. You know, and we got to the place where we just tell, fine, you know, if you want to spend $15,000 on your wedding, that's your business. But I would really encourage you to spend it on your honeymoon or something that about instead of that date. Listen. Now, if you got the money to do that and somebody else is paying for it, that can go for it. Praise God. But don't prepare for wedding. Rather, prepare for marriage. Wedding is for a day, but marriage is for a lifetime.
It's forever together.
Yeah, forever together. That's what
forever
God...
together.
And I had gone in, well, if it don't work out, Pastor Chris, I'll just get somebody else. That's the wrong thinking.
Yeah.
And that'll cost you.
See, the world sees it as a contract. But God sees it as a covenant.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a contract and a covenant.
Yeah.
A covenant is for a lifetime.
Yeah.
And the man and the woman, when they come together, the blood is shed on each one of them. And that blood means a covenant was cut that very moment between them and God. And it's forever.
So, in other words, let's say it like this. Marry a God person. A person who fears God and submits to the authority of God. Marry the will of God.
Yes.
Marry the will of God. If you don't, it's going to cost. And we want it to be days of heaven on earth.
For you.
For you. Amen. And why don't we just hit this last point? It will just take a few moments, love, and we'll close.
Are you rushing?
Probably.
Yeah.
Everybody say, slow down, Pastor Chris. One more time.
Love is patient.
Okay. Thank you, love.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number four.
Last but not least.
Don't get in a rush.
Don't get in a rush after you met. Don't get in a rush, right. Pastor Chris. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
No. Get to know the person. That's here really is a good suggestion.
It takes time.
Once you've met and you kind of feel like this is going in the direction God is wanting it to go in, you both feel that, sense that in your
God's
heart.
God's at the center of your life and that
That's
relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's just a suggestion. At least date for 1 year. Date through all four seasons in that year. Fall, summer, winter, what?
People change.
Four seasons. Make sure you date them through all four seasons. I'm telling you, because it can be it can be different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might be behind that big coat or something. I don't know. No, I'm just playing. Just playing. Go ahead, love.
Yeah. So
just playing, guys.
So you get
sorry. No, but the four seasons is a good thing.
Yes.
Because it gives you time,
yes.
Not only time to know one another, but
That's
really
right.
that people well, do act differently through the and
yeah.
time will tell on those things.
If you're in love with one another, then your love
you're willing
is willing
to wait.
Yep.
Yeah.
Would you let
Amen.
Me say that?
Yes,
yeah.
ma'am.
Yes, don't. Isaiah 28, verse 16, it says, he that believeth shall not make haste or get in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get in a hurry. Don't rush. Here's some things to think about when you're considering your spouse to be, your mate to be. Does he, women, girls, does he have a good foundation in his church? Is he already established in the church? Is he already a good tither in the church? These are things to think about, ladies, before you marry him. You ain't gonna change him after you marry him. When it comes to church and tithing, no. Is he already established in church? Is he already a good tither in church? Does he have a good, stable job?
Hmm.
Here's another one. Does he own his own place, apartment, a condo, or house? Here's another good one.
And he's not trying to get you to move in with him.
Oh.
I thought I'd add that on that. There was a holy hush after I said that. Yeah. Okay. It's good that he has his own place, but not he's asking you to come over and
yeah, anyway. Right, yeah. right, right, right. No, yeah. Does he have his own vehicle for transportation? You think you
something
might
something other than a bicycle?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we've seen some things and canceled some things. Y'all might. I mean, you could laugh, but it's true. The man should be the leader. Come on now, when it comes to spiritual things, in the home with family, you. If he cannot lead himself, he will never lead a family. Come on now. This is why we're saying, is he already established in church? Is he already a tither? Is he serving in his church? Does he appreciate his church?
Is he living for Jesus?
Yeah, is he living for God?
Yeah. Now, these things can change for the good, but it takes time.
Yep.
And so you don't rush into, if these things aren't met, you're making a mistake if you just jump into that. Amen. That's what Pastor Debbie and I are saying.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Don't rush.
Yeah.
Take all these things into consideration and weigh it out.
And if you spend enough time with one another, do you have similar likes and dislikes?
Yeah.
Do you? I know they're always saying opposites attract, and there's some truth to that. But you want to make sure that there's likes. You have similar likes and dislikes. Do you have them? Amen. And I think another good question is, who else has met this person you are planning on marrying? Or are you
That's
just hiding
a good
them?
One.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to hide them, you're probably thinking, well, that, you know, I'm going to get confronted that or ask questions about, you know, the question, should I really be dating this person or should I really be? Anyway, praise the Lord. Say, I love you, Pastor Chris.
I love you, Pastor
Amen.
Chris.
Praise God. We're trying to avoid tragedy.
That's right.
In people's lives. We're trying to help them. And, you know, we love all of our congregation. And relationships is one of the most valuable things that, you know, as believers, we were designed to be relational. That's something I had to learn, love, when we got married or when I got saved, that, you know, this one another thing is very important to God because we become one flesh.
That's
but
right.
Then how I treat you as my brother and sister is how I treat Jesus. If I can't treat how I'm treating you is how I'm treating Jesus. And how you're treating me is how you're treating Jesus. And if we just want to be, don't want to have nothing to do with one another, and I'm just not a people person, I'm not all that. I wasn't any of that. But we allow the Word of God to change us. This is why it takes time for us, all of us, to grow. Grow in relationships. Grow with one another as a church. And we have to be patient and helpful with one another.
Right.
But we're not helpful if we don't tell people the truth. So this is one of the things that we wanted to deal with today. Praise God.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. So don't get in a rush. Exercise, you know, love is willing to wait. It's very patient. And like I said, like he has said, if you love one another now, it'll prove out 6 months from now.
Yeah. Okay, let me give you, and we'll close with this, love.
Okay.
Is that all right with you? I want to give you an example that happened years ago. There was a couple in that church years ago. And you say, well, who are they? None of your business. Amen. Yeah, but it's a success story. And here's what happened. They came to me, and we were back in the other church back then before we built here. And they came to me and said, you know, we've been dating for a number of years, and we're not ready to get married yet, but we're thinking about getting married next year. And we would really like to know if you and Pastor Debbie would give us marital counseling beforehand so that when we are ready to get married next year, we've already got that behind us. We think this will help us. And we agreed. We said, that's a wonderful idea. That's great. So we sit down and we have 5 marriage counseling things. And you know what? When we finished, it was very obvious to me and to Pastor Debbie they were not ready to get married. And I just looked at both of them, and I said, I'm so glad today that to know that that I don't have to marry you because I wouldn't. Because you're not ready to be married because of some issues. And I think it could be safe. This is one of the number one killers is money.
Yep.
In marriage.
It's one of the number reasons for divorce.
And it was issue. I could tell that one loved the other and the other one was so-so. And I just, be honest, I just said, you know what, I'm glad that I don't have to marry today because you're not ready for marriage. And I told him why. And I said, but I love you and I appreciate the opportunity. I'm just glad that, and you know what, there was a short period of time that I didn't see either one, and then the one sends me a nice letter and says this. They said, thank you, Pastor Chris, for telling me the truth and for telling us that we were not ready and thank you, and basically you saved me a and they were no longer together. A couple years later, I think it was, that person found that match in heaven. Amen. We were able to marry them, and they still are happily married today. And every time I see them, I just think about that story and the blessing of the Lord by doing it God's way.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just have to be upfront and say, you're not ready for that. You're not ready for that. Amen.
True.
Praise
yes.
God. And you know what, love? I think this, that a lot of times that life is all about preparation of being ready for the right things. And there's nothing, Brother Ron, come. There's nothing. Come on around here in front of with me, love, and grab my hand if you will. Praise God. There's nothing more important than, you don't want to come around there? Okay, praise the Lord.
Move this back.
Okay, praise the Lord. There's nothing more important than you being prepared for heaven. That's the truth. Nothing more important than you being in heaven. I know we talked about relationships, we talked about all those things, but the key to any natural relationship is a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we've been saying. If our life isn't built on that foundation, that we both have the same agreement of right and wrong, truth and error, and we are together on that, going in the same direction, letting that call the shots, not us call the shots, let the Word call the shots, then our life will not be what it was designed to be.
That's right.
And the truth is, today, even though we talked about all these, about relationships and the do's and don'ts to singles, it's way bigger than this. Because the number one relationship that you and I have to question ourselves about is our relationship with Almighty God. Now, you could be in here today, and you could, the things I've shared have been helpful, maybe, maybe not. But I can tell you this, that if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that will not end well with you or for you. It is God's plan. This is why what is known as the great plan of redemption, God did. When man sinned and fell,